This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. In kind support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy. Louis the Computer Guy providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
That's right. We have the electrons appropriately routed today.
Good. I was going to say, it's almost a tradition for me to, like, talk and, you know.
Nothing happened. Yeah.
It's all good.
So were you humming that song in the shower this morning?
Exactly. Yeah. That tin whistle song.
Yeah.
So, yep. All righty. So, it's a fairly exciting weekend.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff going on.
All right, I have to return a text message to a client really quick.
All right.
Telling them I can't call and I can't talk until after.
All right. So.
Five.
So you're talking about the built-in file encryption, and this probably goes for Windows as well as Macintosh, but you were saying that you've had a couple runs, and I had one recently as well.
Yeah, basically what Apple's doing is there are a couple of certain situations where you may be required, and it has to do with locking of devices or encryption of your personal data, that may require you, if one of several different scenarios happen, may require you to end up at an Apple store with a printed copy of your receipt for your phone or your iPad or your computer, whatever the Apple device is. I guess technically it could be for your iMac as well. There are certain situations that Apple support cannot and will not help you with over the phone for security reasons. And so anyway, we were talking about File Vault at first. A lot of Mac users don't know exactly what File Vault is. And File Vault tends to pop up and say, hey, do you want to make all your files safe? And a lot of people answer, yes, and I do. You know, and now is it just the user folder? See, I didn't.
I believe it's you said just the. I believe that? It's just the user files.
Okay,
so I'd have to go look on a computer. I'd have to go look on one of my Macs to see if that's true. But I believe that File Vault, and I think you might be able to make your own separate vault. But
okay,
in its default configuration, I believe it encrypts
a
large portion of your user folder.
Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe that. I'm thinking it may be the whole hard drive. Only reason I say that is because I've tried to do some like data recovery off of a File Vault encrypted drive, and it reports back as damaged, like the whole drive.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow me to see anything that's on it, but maybe that's by design. I don't know. So
I'm gonna have to go look it up now.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a scenario where I had a client who, you know, was letting her teenage sons play with her MacBook, and they got in and changed her file. First of all, she had File Vault enabled, and the way you can tell if a Mac has File Vault enabled is like right after you press the power button, it'll ask for a password. In other words, in order to access the hard drive at all, you have to enter a password. So that's how you can kind of tell if you hit the power button and then you get the Apple and then you get the little progress indicator and it goes across and then it comes up to a screen with the names of the users, then you do not have File Vault enabled. This customer of mine, her teenage sons were playing around with her File Vault password and they changed it and they forgot what it was. And then after numerous failed attempts and half an hour on phone with the Apple support, basically came down to the only way to fix this is to take it to an Apple store and have the printed hard copy of the receipt. An electronic copy will not do it. It's got to be paper. And so I guess, you know, first thing is to say is that if you're an Apple user, have any Apple devices, it might be good to, if it's not too late already, to basically print out and file copies of those receipts or invoices.
And that makes the secondhand market really real. It puts somebody who, you know, purchased a computer on eBay in a real difficult position.
It does, yeah. It's not something to be fooled around with lightly, you know,
no.
That file vault encryption. So, you know, I tell people that, you know, first of all, it's good to have those printed copies. And second of all, if you go in and change the password, make sure you know what you're doing. You know, make sure you write it down.
Yep.
You know, don't utter the fateful words to yourself, "I'll never forget that," because that's the surefire sign that you're going to forget it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Write it down. Put it in your safe. Put it in your security deposit box or wherever.
Put it in that file on your desktop called My Passwords.
Well, but that'll be encrypted. So that's.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
You need a physical copy of it.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to have a file on your desktop called My Passwords, file vault encryption is a good thing to have.
Yeah.
You know. So, anyway, people can call in with their computer questions, 970-963-2976. Matt and I are both here, tan, rested, and ready after a 2.5-day weekend.
Yeah.
Did you take the day off, Matt?
Pretty much.
Did you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you did better than me. So
that's why I said pretty much. Yeah. Not entirely. Not entirely successful.
I tried to fix something. I lost a bunch of stuff temporarily for a client. I found it. Mm-hmm. I just been around the block today. So
yeah. So I was just looking at the Wikipedia entry for File Vault on a Mac, and it looks like it invites you to create a master password, and then there's a recovery or decryption key that you want to save. So keep that decryption
key. That's an emergency
backup.
Unlocker. Okay.
Yeah, and you want to have that laying around if you forget your password.
Looks like we got a call.
You're on the air with Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Good.
We're good,
you?
Donna. We're talking about Apple stuff. Were your ears burning?
No, I was listening, sure.
Ah. So.
I have a question for you guys about an iPhone, actually.
Okay.
So my iPhone, after I did my updates, I'm just curious if anyone else has experienced this. My maps weren't really working. Like, I would do whether it was Apple Maps or Google Maps, I would type in an address and hit, you know, route or whatever. And it would show the route, but then it wouldn't update. And eventually, sometimes it would or sometimes it wouldn't, I'd close it and then I'd go to the other one and try it, which is hard to do while you're driving.
Yeah.
But, have you guys experienced that? It seemed to work okay today.
I've noticed on my tablet, which is an Android tablet, I'll ask it for a route. It'll show me like the overview of the route, and then I'll say start, and then it'll take 90 seconds or a minute or two, and it'll sit there and say calculating best route, and it almost feels like it gets stuck there, and then eventually it goes, okay, here's the route, and loads up Google Maps normally. So I've noticed that there's been a delay between when you do the Google search for directions and, you know, loading up maps or whatever the software is in the background on the Android. I'm not sure if it's similar on
mine. The route will show up actually really quickly, but when I hit start, it looks like it'll basically say, you know, proceed to whatever street and turn left kind of thing, and then I'll do that and I'll turn left and I'll go a few miles and it still won't have updated. It'll still show the thing that says turn left up at, you know, El Camino Real or something. Yeah, so you haven't seen that other than what you're experiencing on Android, huh?
So, yeah, okay. I just search for the route, and then it shows me the route really quickly. And then the transition from, you know, showing the overview of the route to the actual navigation part of it
takes a while,
and I'm not sure if that's the same error or not.
The reason I'm wondering if it's the iPhone is that it's on both Google Maps and Apple Maps. I had the same issue on both. So that tells me there's something going on with the GPS in my phone or something.
Have you, just out of curiosity, have you tried Waze?
I did not try Waze because I didn't, just because I pretty much knew where I was going anyway a couple of times, and I would just keep refreshing. But I didn't try Waze. But Google bought Waze. Are they still using different databases? Or
it seems like they're a little different. Because I don't have that lag on when I use Waze. I don't have that lag for the search. After you,
okay.
After it shows you the overview, you click it and it goes straight into the navigation
okay.
part of it, at least on the Android. I don't know if that's
true. I'll try the Waze and see, but today my map worked, so I don't know. Anyway, the other question I had for you guys is I recently, I was looking on the CES website, and they were talking about, or I was reading about televisions that are coming up with this new 8K. You know how a lot of, there's televisions that now that are 4K, and they're coming out with 8K.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, so I bought my an Apple TV, a 4K-capable Apple TV, but let me ask you this. If the broadcast isn't 4K, then you won't see 4K color, right?
That's correct.
And then the other question is, how do you know, is there a way to know whether the broadcast, will they advertise that, oh, this Netflix is broadcasting at 4K color, or does the Cox or Spectrum, limit the bandwidth so that it's not giving you 4K color?
Well, it depends on the media, but like YouTube has a little thing that says like 1080p or 4K, or it'll kind of tell you what format the content is in. So, and then the question is, where's the upscaling happening? So if it's like 1080p, is something like the Apple TV or the Roku or whatever upscaling that to 4K to match the TV? Or in this case, if you have an 8K TV and a 4K streaming device, the monitor, the TV is going to have to upscale the 4K or 1080p onto its screen, and they usually do a okay job of that. But there's usually you it's just like audio. You want to keep the signal quality as high as you can, as far down the chain. So if your source is 8K, everything from the chain to the screen needs to be 8K to maintain the fidelity. Whereas if anything in the middle there, so it has to drop down to 1080p or 4K, that's going to be
never going to get any better.
It's never going to get much better. I mean, visually, visual compression is easier for our eyes to deal with than auditorial compression, at least in my opinion. So.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
Well, I bring this up for your audience because there's all these new televisions that people are buying, like 4K TV, but if they don't have a fast enough service or nothing support it, then they're spending more money on something that may or may not be giving them what they think they're getting.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, especially up here in the wild, wild west. Where, I mean, there's a certain number of our listeners that are on, what CenturyLink calls their silver DSL product, which basically means 1.5 meg down.
Wow.
I guarantee you there's going to be 4K going on that.
Yeah, right.
It's
So I just looked it up real quick. For example, Amazon recommends at least 15 megabits per second for 4K, and Netflix recommends 25 megabits per second. So
yeah, okay. So for example, I told my sister, hey, if you're using your Amazon Fire Stick and it just plugs into the USB port, I'm telling you, you're not getting 4K off of that.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I don't think.
Well, that should be HDMI instead of USB, though.
It is plugged into HDMI.
Yeah. The HDMI should be able to support 4K or even 8K, depending on the HDMI version.
Yeah, but she's but it's Wi-Fi connected to the wireless device.
Yeah. So as long as you can get a nice steady 25, 30 megabits per second download over Wi-Fi
at the modem.
Okay.
At the modem. Over the Wi-Fi, since that's likely the weakest link in the system there.
Yeah,
so. That's true. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up about being aware, because of course when we turned on the 4K television, my sister was like, wow, this picture looks really good. This 4K is really good. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, you're used to looking at an old television. So what you think you're seeing is 4K. You're not seeing 4K right now. She's like, oh, how do you know? You know, so.
Well, anyway. and this happened when we went from standard definition 480i or 480p to 720p. The TV's color, just the fact that the TV had these new electronics and had better color, better definition, and more pixels available, even though it was an SD picture,
right. Just
because the equipment is so much better, it looks the same content looks substantially better on the newer system.
Right.
So even though you're not getting 100% of what you could out of the new equipment at this point.
Right. So anyway, just wanted people to be aware of, if you're buying a new television, you might want your streaming device to match it, and that you have a fast enough internet connection, blah, 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 because if you're not, guess what? 8K TVs are going to be out here soon and, you know, run-of-the-mill here in a couple of years. So anyway.
Yeah. So Donna, let me ask you a question before you go. When's the last time you changed your Apple ID password?
I probably changed it within a year.
Okay.
Got it.
Because I don't know if you've heard about this hack that is being perpetrated, but it's probably one of the most serious and costly hacks that people have experienced in a while, where hackers basically break into your Apple ID account or your iCloud account, and they go into the Find My iPhone area.
Uh-huh.
And there is an option to lock a device remotely from there, and you can basically set a unique password that doesn't have anything to do with any of your other Apple passwords, it's you basically cannot reset it using even two-factor.
Wow.
They can basically set a unique password that nobody can see, including Apple. And they can also push a little message to your phone. And so what it's basically showing up is people are, you know, it's obvious, it sounds like it's being perpetrated from the other side of the world. People are waking up to a message on their phone basically saying, it's kind of like a ransomware type of attack.
Wow.
And people are, being prompted to call this phone number. And then they want to take control of your computer. I fortunately don't even know what happens after that, because these clients of mine got really smart and just said, no, we're not going to do that. The only way to get the device unlocked is to take it to an Apple store with a printed paper receipt, proof of purchase.
Wow.
That's the only way to get back into the device. So most people don't have that. And so it basically turns the phone into a throwaway.
Wow.
At that point. And those things aren't cheap.
Does insurance cover that?
I don't know about that.
Would phone insurance cover a locked phone?
That's a good question.
Well, very good, guys. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Go change your password.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Yeah, tell all your friends. Bye-bye.
I will.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. We have a few more minutes. 963-2976.
That was Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent, calling from sunny Southern California.
Yeah.
So
the password is king again, as always.
Yes, once again. It's scary, man, to think that somebody can get on your phone. I mean, there's something even more personal about a phone than an iPad or a computer, I think. You know, to have a message, a poorly spelled, poorly grammatically correct, on your screen.
Give money 500.
Telling you can't get into your own phone unless you send this amount of Bitcoin, or whatever.
It takes a long time to get Bitcoin. Hideous. I'm still waiting for my exchange to account to go through.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I signed up just before Christmas.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, you don't want to be waiting on that. So it's... anyway, yeah, that's... do you have any 4K devices that you're... changing subjects again, do you have any 4K devices or 8K devices?
So the Roku I have is a 4K device, but I have it hooked up to a 1080p monitor for now.
Got it. Okay, so, that's right. You were saying that last week.
So I am in the hunt for a 4K TV, but haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet.
Are you noticing any noticeable pixelization of the product?
Some of the streaming services, like in the evening... Some of the streaming services have trouble
when they're under demand.
Yeah, when they're under. Yeah, yeah. So, some of them will be fine. Some of them will be kind of like, you know, just stop working for 10 or 15 minutes, and then come back up. And every once in a while, there'll be some. Usually, it's kind of all or none. But every once in a while, you'll see it kind of drop down to something closer to, you know, like 720p or 480 or something.
Yeah.
For a little while, and then it'll kick back up eventually.
Okay. Got it.
So, not as reliable as broadcast television, but
yeah,
it works fine and the price is right.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's I've been kind of thinking about examining some possibilities. You know how it is that you sign up for a TV service, and before you know it, you're like looking at your TV bill and going, I'm paying $139 a month for my TV. It's like, that's crazy. So I'm thinking about doing switching TV carriers and, you know, getting the 2-year, you know, locked in price for $49 a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about something like what is that one? DirecTV Now or Sling?
Oh, you like over Roku? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, no, they're available on Roku. So
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's a Roku channel, right?
Yeah, so yeah. Like DirecTV Now, so like we get some of it through my parents' account, but
yeah. Got it.
You can actually get DirecTV Now for I think $40 or $50
a month. So can you get network television over
there?
Yeah,
there's a big list of it. And the same with Sling, and I've been playing with one called Pluto.
Okay.
TV, and right. There's a bunch of free.
You know, that's a really good suggestion. I'm going to go check that out because, you know, that would be the place where I get stuck is, football seasons is about to be over. So, but the place I get stuck is I at one point let my TV, you know, like decided to shut my TV off and football season started up. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm Louis the computer guy. I can find the football, you know, I can do this. And after a full Sunday afternoon of ultimate frustration,
yeah,
I could not find my game. I'm like, hello, DirecTV? I need to sign back up. So
they give you a deal at least?
Well, you know, they did. Yeah.
So you just need to cancel.
They gave me a DVR.
Give up TV for a month and then.
I guess, you know, it's like. But, you know, I got to admit, their system's pretty slick. I have that multi-room DVR thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even my, you know, like the utility setup in my shop, you know, I can DVR stuff or I can, you know, watch things that are on the TiVo, you know, on there.
And so, is that over a Wi-Fi network or is that over, like, the coaxial? But you have to run coaxial between all the boxes or?
That one goes over the coaxial. Yeah, so it's like what they call a SWIM system. Are you familiar with that? Single wire multi room.
Okay.
Yeah, SWM. So,
excellent. Yeah,
I'm pretty proud that I know that.
Similar to Mocha.
Yes. What is Mocha?
It's the same. It's something very similar for Comcast.
Okay.
And I think it's a standard as well. I haven't looked into it very recently.
Now, what's the term, you know, if we have any listeners that want to turn off that pesky Xfinity Wi-Fi network on their Xfinity setup, where in the modem is that under? I always thought that was under Mocha. But, I mean, do you know where that is?
I don't have an Xfinity modem. Okay. I just called Xfinity, gave them my account, or when I go to a client's place and they have it on, I
tell them to turn it off.
I get the account number from the and the you know their latest bill, so I have the account number and the amount of the latest bill. Call up and say, "Hey, can you turn this off?" And they're usually, you know, on it.
Okay,
so they're usually, got it. That's how I usually go about it.
Yeah, you know that's like the best technology and the worst technology in the world all at once. You know, because I've got my devices set up. You know, I've got Xfinity credentials entered in there and you know, but every now and then it'll automatically jump onto an Xfinity network and then go, sorry, we can't connect to the internet. I'm like, what? I'm supposed to be able to connect to the internet from anywhere.
Yeah, I spent a fair amount of time deleting the Xfinity credentials from people's preferred Wi-Fi list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. That's, so if any of our listeners have a phone out there that or a device that just can't give up its Xfinity Wi-Fi habit, that's the way to do it, is to go remove it from the list of preferred networks.
Yeah.
and don't join again.
Yeah.
Because then it'll add it to the list again. So.
Unless you absolutely have to.
Absolutely. So.
So with your client who had their iCloud attacked, do you think they had a trivial password?
I know they had a trivial password. So let's talk about that again.
Yeah. So I use a tool called Diceware.
Okay.
And we'll have to continue this next week.
I'll talk about next week.
But anyway, Google Diceware, it sends you to a site about how to do that, and it generates a very strong password that's easy to remember.
That's key right there, for sure. So,
all right.
Okay.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you next Monday.